Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number three here to Monday on Danny and Dusty. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you. Whether you're listed on 1080 AM, watching on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We've got other ways for you to get involved. Ladies and gentlemen, it's concert season. Danny and Dusty have your chance to win tickets to Def Leppard and Journey.
Oh, hell yeah.
September 2nd at Moda Center.
Let's go.
All week long at the 2 o'clock hour, we will be giving away tickets. And now is your first opportunity if you text DEF, D-E-F, to 503-864-6326 now. You can enter for your chance to win tickets to Def Leppard and Journey on September 2nd at Moda Center. Head to 1080thefan.com for all your complete details.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dude, that's badass.
A little hair band, a little karaoke.
Yeah.
I like where that's going.
I'm looking at, it's always good to see where they're coming from because they usually come from Seattle. No, we get them before Seattle.
Oh, they're going north, huh?
San Diego to Portland to Seattle.
Wow, they're not doing an LA show?
They're finishing off the tour. Yeah, they are. They go Inglewood to San Francisco to San Diego to Portland.
Okay, so
They're zigzagging across here. Their tour is all over the place.
Yeah.
They go from Flushing, New York, so Citi Field.
How many members are still original?
That's a great question. Still rocks. They go from New York to Texas, Texas to Minnesota, Minnesota to Arizona, Arizona to Inglewood. They are zigzagging all over the place. That's a badass concert. All right. Can I text Def?
I mean, you can, but we can't win legally.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We legally can't.
That's a good point.
We get in trouble.
I've been through trainings over that.
Yeah, it's really long.
Yeah, it is.
It's really long. It doesn't
matter. They give us a good couple of hours to make sure we know we can't win.
It's like, but why?
And it's Def, D-E-F.
Yes,
it's not,
D-E-F.
There's no A. It's not an actual Def Leppard. Leopard is not spelled the same as a normal leopard either.
It's the same time as Led Zeppelin.
Dude, naming bands was awesome. Yeah. You see that movie, the Motley Crue movie that was on Netflix where Machine Gun Kelly played Tommy Lee?
I did not.
Motley Crue, they liked the name, and then they're like, hey, let's have the O with the two dots over it. And it stuck because it looked cooler.
Because it looked cooler? Was it umlaut?
They're not a German band. Southern California
and
band.
And then they spelled Crue different.
Yeah, because the 80s. You could, dude. It was awesome.
Yeah, in the 90s, we just swapped out a lot of Z's for S's.
Yeah, the 90s bands, the names were, they were
in
running,
numbers.
They were running
Tupac.
Out. Well, Tupac, yeah, he was just a rapper. Rappers,
yeah, rappers,
that's a different game.
Yeah.
Naming your band, I mean, we had a lot of bands just named after just things.
Stuff.
They're just nouns.
Yeah.
You know?
Oasis. Nirvana.
Oh, Nirvana is, that's a place you could go.
Mm-hmm. Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah. But they weren't they formed in the 80s? They may have been formed.
Technically, probably early or mid-late 80s.
Yeah. Naming a band would
Green
be
Day?
Awesome. Green, Don't know that one. Don't know why, where that came from. Name and band would be awesome, though. Like, I want to
like
name
a lot of pressure.
I want to name a band, and I want to name a bull for like a rodeo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the bulls, it's kind of the same. Actually, you have a lot of bulls named after bands. Like, Def Leppard is a bull.
Mm.
And John Growney, who's a stock contractor, he just says, I just like to name off cool things. Like, he had a bull named Bodacious.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
What about the Oneaters?
The what? Is that a band or a bull? Bull.
The band.
Band or bull.
It's the Wonders.
Never heard of it.
No. That thing you do?
Oh, got it. Yep.
The Oneaters.
Yep. Tom
no, it's
Hanks.
Like it's like Wonders, but it's
Tom
spelled
Hanks.
Differently. You
got
know,
me.
Like the Beatles?
There we go.
The first thing we're doing is changing the stupid name of the band. That was a great line. That was a great line.
Love it.
That thing sticks in my head. You know what sticks in my head?
Hmm.
Dana Altman coming March and being successful.
That, to me, like what we saw this past weekend, this is the Dana Altman special. Dana Altman, this isn't the first time that it's happened. We've seen Oregon make a run through the conference tournament before and be a bid stealer. And I think this year is probably the most impressive run that we've seen from Dana Altman and company because of the fact of all of the injuries that have plagued this team. And you had these new pieces that, whether it's Mookie Cook or Jackson Shellstead, which you're putting a lot of faith in young guys that were in and out of the lineup over the course of the year. And the fact that Altman kind of, it was almost repetitive. He keeps saying the same thing. Our offense is rushed. We're not getting good looks at the basket. You know, we need to defend as a team better. Like it was the same, it was simple stuff, but the same things over and over again. And it started with that UCLA game in the Pac-12 tournament.
They should not have won.
Well, in the first half, the halftime report was Altman was sitting there going, look, our offense is rushed.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing too fast. We need to slow things down. Well, the best way to slow things down is feed the damn big man.
Mm-hmm.
And in Fale Dante, he went from a solid Oregon basketball player to he entered legend status.
He played three incredible games in a row.
It has been so fun to watch him operate because of how efficient he has been. He has been shooting. I saw this from Zach Neely, he said this month in Fale Dante has made 51 of 60 field goal attempts. That's 85% from the field. He carried this team.
Mm-hmm.
It was the end in the UCLA game where they ended up starting this run was that UCLA game where their big gets in foul trouble and Infale Dante just went to work. He just went to work. Yeah. And at that point, you knew that's where Oregon was going to go the rest of the way. The fact that they started hitting three-pointers, too, in the Arizona game, mm-hmm. where I think that was only the third time in the last 11 games that they've shot over 30% from three.
And they barely squeaked over at 30.4.
But they did it.
And Caleb Love was a tire fire.
The two games before that, though, mm-hmm. Oregon had shot 20% from three. And then all of a sudden, shots started to fall. And once they got past Arizona, it just had that feeling on Saturday, Oregon was going to win that game.
And every game was close.
Yeah, every single one was close.
They needed every last second to beat UCLA. Arizona just kept plugging along because they got to the free throw line never-endingly.
But it wasn't just Dante's offensive prowess and just putting the back on his team offensively. That block at the end of the Colorado game, oh my goodness. You do not, like, how often do you see that? A big coming out, closing out on the three, and the delivery was so methodical and slow. And Fale Dante cocked back to his hip and blocked that shot.
Mm-hmm.
It was he did it on both ends of the floor, which is really fun. How much this team has in them as far as an NCAA tournament run, you know, that's to be determined. You get South Carolina, which is actually kind of in their wheelhouse.
Yeah,
where they got
kind of mucked up.
They got some dudes that are kind of like bigger, bulkier guys that we saw against Colorado. Infale Dante was running circles around their big.
Yeah, look. We got some thick boys out there in Eddie Lampkin Jr. Tristan Da Silva is not a guy who has a ton of beef on the frame. Eddie Lampkin Jr. probably could have, you know, given Tristan Da Silva a couple pounds. But, yeah, Colorado's more of a finesse team. And that game itself, I mean, Cody Williams is a guy I have very, very, very high on my draft board. He just returned from injury. He came off the bench, and he's just he wasn't that impactful. He goes for 17 minutes, 9 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 of 6 shooting. And that's kind of been the mark against him heading into the draft. And he's a guy I really like for Portland, but he kind of faded to the background, and the Ducks really took hold of that game. And again, to your point, Ducks shot 2 of 17 from 3.
Yeah.
The mark of NCAA tournament teams that win, that are upstarts, are violent three-point teams. Those are the teams that either that or they play
UAB, yep. Everybody.
Teams that get threes up and you have a bunch of volatility, or you play a very high aggressive pressure defense where you teams that aren't used to playing against that like a 2-1-2 press or something along yep. those lines, where they are just in your shirt for 40 minutes and they wear you out and you aren't used to that ball pressure. That's where you see the biggest upsets.
Samford, they play yep. full court press, 12 dudes.
All game long.
They run
line changes.
They're going to bring it. Yeah. But yeah, those are the upset specials. And this is where Oregon, like, you can't have that shooting variance in the tournament.
And you can't have Enfali Dante go 12 for 12 every game.
Well, he showed that he can.
He did shoot the living hell of a ball. It certainly helps that the 7-foot, 240-pound guy played like a 7-foot, 240-pound guy.
Well, you have a great coach putting his mark on his team. Mm-hmm. Again, Altman, think of this. This is from my buddy Greg Crawford. He's Pac-12 tourney all-time leader in wins. He has 24 Pac-12 tournament wins. Think of that. Last 4 years, Oregon men's basketball is one of only 5 teams in the country to win 20 games each season. Mm-hmm. Like his win of 20, they have been consistently good and peaking at the end of the year. This was the feather in the cap of Dana Altman, though, because of everything that this team has gone through over the course of the year. Not very many people thought that they'd be in the NCAA tournament, let alone the conference championship.
They don't
game.
Win that tournament. They're not in.
No, it's not even close. But again, you have Arizona being untrustworthy in tournament-style basketball.
Which, that has been a mark for them.
UCLA and Oregon kind of were mirror images of mm-hmm. each other this year, where they had all the talent that you sit there and you're like, they can do it.
Yep.
If they put it together.
Incredibly disappointing.
He never got them going.
Yep.
They never answered the bell. Oregon, largely because of Enfali Dante.
Yep.
They were able to answer that bell. And, like, look, I think this matchup with South Carolina is awesome, too, because you've got Jermaine Cousinard, who played at South Carolina before.
Last year.
He's got his former team that he's going up against in the NCAA tournament. Like, that, like, there's a little bit of storyline. It's the first time you've ever seen this team. It's an SEC team, so it's not Wisconsin or Oklahoma State, which it seems like every first round the Ducks play either mm-hmm. Wisconsin or Oklahoma State at some point in the tournament. Doesn't feel like we're going to get that one this time.
It probably won't happen going forward either, because Wisconsin and Oregon will be in the Big Ten together.
That's right.
They won't get that matchup anymore.
The Oregon Ducks finish as conference champions
in
the last time of the Pac-12, yeah. and they were the only program they played in the football conference championship mm-hmm. game, which they lost, mm-hmm. and the basketball conference championship game,
which they won.
And so they have their mark on both of those as playing the last football and basketball games in Pac-12 history.
It's a good place to be.
It's a very damn good place to be.
Another good place to be.
I'm excited for this tourney.
It is. It's going to be a really good tournament, and a big part of that is the bracket busters and teams that found their way into the tournament that nobody saw coming. It caused chaos. We'll dive into those next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
The new Metallica remix, brought to you by the NCAA tournament.
I don't know how I even hit that one. That's nowhere close to my rejoin liners. Man.
You know, sometimes you need to, you never need to change Metallica.
I just wish that the people could have seen the look on your face when you hit that
button. And you can if you're watching on YouTube.com.
No, it wasn't there. It didn't catch it. I was looking at the stream to see if it caught it, and it didn't catch it. God.
Wow. What'd you do?
Yeah, Rust. What'd you do?
You're breaking stuff. Well, speaking of breaking stuff, how about a whole handful of teams breaking the bracket before we could ever get started?
This was the wildest conference tournament weekend that I can remember in quite some time. You had five bid stealers, teams that just kind of broke the mold, and they broke a lot of teams' hopes and dreams. We have Seton Hall Joe who's running around here right today, and he's all hot and bothered over Seton Hall not being in the tournament this year.
You keep saying Seton Hall Joe, and the only thing that pops in my head is Cotton Eye Joe.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing. You have teams Oklahoma, Seton Hall, St. John's. They seem to be the three teams that they feel have the biggest gripe over the tournament.
I mean, St. John's very clearly does.
But at the same token, do they?
Yeah.
Because Oregon, New Mexico, NC State, and Temple all went on runs. And Temple upsetting FAU, that one kind of led to the ripple effect because FAU is more deserving of that at-large bid. And then Wisconsin making it to their conference championship game. The thing about all of these teams that have the complaints, what they're looking at is the KenPom, their KenPom rating, mm-hmm. and not looking at the actual basketball that they were playing. Because St. John's is saying, we're getting hosed here. What's the best win that St. John's has on their final run? Like where they went unbeaten?
Number 15, Creighton.
Creighton?
Yeah.
They beat Creighton?
Yeah.
That's it?
I mean, if you look...
Every other team went on a run in their tournament, though, and who should be out in those teams be in?
Out of who?
Out of the at-larges. Like, they're all upset that they lost. Then who should be out?
At bare minimum, I would have thrown them in as a last four in, at bare minimum.
Last four, Virginia's that team that everybody's
Easy.
Saying. Virginia is the one team that should not be in, right? And Virginia got in on a hope and a prayer, despite the fact they played in the ACC, which is a tougher schedule. Okay. Overall, they had a tougher schedule. And they don't have the quality wins down the stretch either. But when you look at their non-conference, they lose to Wisconsin, but they have a non-conference win over Florida. They beat Texas A&M, which is a tournament team as well. And they have their body of work through the ACC. You sit there and you go, all right, is it greater than or less than what St. John's did?
I look at St. John's and I go, that's a team that lost by a combined 9 points over two games to UConn.
Okay.
That's a team that down the stretch was beating everybody handily.
But who did they beat? They beat DePaul. Mm-hmm. They beat, which is bottom feeder.
Yes.
Villanova.
They beat Seton Hall,
not a tournament
team that, again, close to the edge.
But again, Seton Hall is that other team that you look at and you're like, are we really touting the prowess of a Seton Hall team?
No, they're 62nd in KenPom.
That had their last quality win was against Marquette in early January. Mm-hmm. And then Marquette, by the way, beat them 75-57 in February. And then they lost to Creighton by 21. They lose to UConn by 30. And we're going to cry, woe is me. That's where I go. If you are on the bubble and you're whining about not getting in the tournament, I really don't feel bad because there's 68 teams in the tournament. Was it 34 at-large bids?
Yeah.
So we're going to complain about being on the outside looking
in?
St.
John's is the one I am. John's is the one I am. When you're a top 25 team, according to KenPom rankings, which historically is the most accurate system that we've seen, and they play incredibly well, losing in the end to UConn by 5. If you're talking about how a team is playing and their resume, I don't understand how St. John's gets left out. I don't.
Yeah, I do. It's 11-9 in the Big East, you know? And KenPom takes into your margin of victory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I saw Kim English, the very attractive Providence coach.
Yes, indeed.
He said the analytics are BS because we can just schedule a bunch of bad teams and beat them by 40. And mm-hmm. if we're gonna get a push in the KenPom because of that, then we'll go ahead and that's what we'll start doing.
But it also factors in the margin of victory versus scale.
My favorite part of St. John's not getting in
mm-hmm.
is that New Mexico's the reason why.
His kid, Richard Pitino
in New Mexico making a run in the Mountain West tournament, bounces old man Rick out of the tourney, and that was one of the things that I think the first four out, St. John's wasn't even listed in the first four out.
No.
Like, so that's where the tournament committee had them. What was a St. John's net rating? And this is like the tournament committee, they have... Like, they just kind of threw darts at the wall and said, all right, you're in. But I think the great story about conference tournament weekend was you had Oregon make a run, and they earned their way in. New Mexico earned their way in. North Carolina State earned their way. And then a team like UAB earns that way into the tournament. Wisconsin.
St. John's was 32nd.
Wisconsin was not going to be making the tournament. Like, they were... on the skids in the tail end of the season. And what do? They just put it together and make the run in the conference tournament, and boom, they're back in it. You look at before the conference tournament, they were, I think, they'd won 3 of their last 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
There's no chance Wisconsin's getting in. But guess what?
Meow.
Meteoric rise. They go and they didn't win the Big Ten. They lost to Illinois, right?
Yeah.
But they beat a 1 seed on the way on the way too.
And that can bump you up a ton.
Got them in.
Again, a 5 seed.
Too high. That reeks of 7. That reeks of a 7 seed.
And just let's go take a look.
Maybe even worse.
Wisconsin came in at number 17 in KenPom.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
I mean, I get it, but... like they're sitting there and everybody wants their team in, and that's the thing. But when the field is 68, I just kind of roll my eyes when people are complaining, because it's like, well, St. John's, then I don't know, maybe you could have beat somebody else along
the
way.
Well, again, if you're looking at net rankings and you're looking at KenPom and they're 25th and 32nd and there's 68 teams.
What if they go back to the stretch where Rick Pitino just said, we're not athletic, we're not very good. And the committee's like, they're not, their coach said it.
Yeah.
He's not athletic, they're not very good.
And that just,
like, we're just going to leave them out. Because, I mean, they had a stretch right before they went on that run where they lost 5 of 6
mm-hmm.
and it was 8 of 10 that they had lost, and they were playing really bad basketball. And then Rick Pitino says, we're slow, we're not very athletic, we can't shoot the ball well, we can't defend well. And then they go on that run. But the bubble teams, it's always fascinating to me, because I think also you could have looked, a lot of people were very surprised at Colorado getting in after a tough loss in the conference championship game, because they were a bubble team heading in. And I think that's where teams like St. John's and Seton Hall, if you don't make that run in the tournament, that's the indicator of you're not playing your best basketball at the end of the year, right?
Sure.
But you look at the wins that that St. John's did have, and they were against teams that Georgetown, Seton Hall, another bubble team. You get that win over them, it's not moving the needle like the other teams that were in front of them. And so I really don't, you know, Colorado beat Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
really helped them.
That is a far more quality win than beating another bubble team.
Yes.
And I think when you look at what the committee had in front of them, I don't blame them for any of the moves that they made. Maybe Virginia is one that you go, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But we do get to see the best defender in the nation play in Ryan Dunn.
Look at that.
There you go.
No
defense.
Way.
Defense.
Everybody's going to watch paint dry.
Yeah. Oh, that game's good. Yeah. Yeah, they don't score.
It is going to. They're going to grind that baby to a halt. Ratings bonanza in the first four.
That's going to be one where you're looking at going, next.
Yeah.
You're flipping the channel.
Oh, Rick Pitino, man.
That's the other thing is having Rick Pitino in the tournament is better for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better for everybody.
And like this text says, committee doesn't really look at conference tourneys historically. They kind of had to this year.
Yeah.
This year, they were forced to.
To make that change.
That's why all the seedings are wonky, is because.
They're like, well, we have to completely look at this differently.
And even on Sunday, you had an A-10 conference championship game between Duquesne and VCU, where that was the fifth and sixth seeds in the Atlantic 10 conference playing against each other. Like, they were sitting there like, oh, God. Where do we put this automatic qualifier that makes sense in the bracket? And again, it did not make sense. Duquesne, an 11 seed.
Yep. Huh?
I don't care. I'm ready for Thursday.
Yeah, indeed.
I'm ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, bring on the basketball. In the meantime, the teams that did not make the NCAA tournament are turning down NIT bids left, right, and center. What does that mean for college basketball as a whole? We'll get to that here coming up on Danny and Dusty. But first, here's the Big Kahuna, the Sports Center update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
We started off the show talking about racket busters and making it to the NCAA tournament and just how everything's shaping out and the impact of NIL and the transfer portal on college basketball in general, how it's leveling the playing field. It has created a byproduct that is, I would say, problematic for the non-NCAA tournament types, i.e. the NIT. We might have seen the death of an NIT happen right in front of our eyes because there's so much at play when it comes to money, opportunities, and the transfer portal. Tom Crean was on ESPN, and he had a lot to say about where the NIT is at and what coaches should be prioritizing going forward when not making the NCAA tournament.
There's plenty of time for the portal. There's plenty of time to talk to recruits. There's plenty of time to negotiate NIL deals. There's not plenty of time to play. There's not plenty of time to get your players on the floor and give them a chance to get better. There's not plenty of time for guys to continue to play that may never get to play again. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. It's each coach's choice. I get it. But if you take away a chance to play the games, to put your team on the floor, let them opt out. All right, the bowl season has it all the time. Let it happen. Who cares? Give your players and coaches a chance to keep coaching and playing. Wow. And don't shortchange. If a guy doesn't want to play, go sit down. If a coach doesn't want to coach, go recruit. But there's got to be enough people to put 5, 6, 7 people on the floor and go play. Makes absolutely zero sense to me.
I love that. Because you had St. John's, Oklahoma, and Pitt.
Also
all decline NIT bids. And that, I mean, you can decline the CBI, you can decline the NIT, but I think that if you are talking about development of your future and the health of your program, and like Tom Crean says, there's going to be a lot of guys that were like, damn, I wanted to play. Like, just give me one final run, because when you hang it up for the last time,
it's done.
It's over.
Yeah.
For a lot of these guys, most of the guys that are playing, this was the last basketball that they're ever going to play. And for Oklahoma, St. John's, a lot of those guys just never going to pick up a basketball again.
And as much as we've talked so much about the inevitable professionalization of college sports, for the vast majority of people, it's not professional, even at the highest levels of college sports. There's a lot of guys in college football on those Alabama and Georgia rosters that are not going to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
The staggering majority of them.
Most of them don't.
Well, not. Do you think if there was an opportunity to play one more time that they wouldn't take it?
They do it.
In a heartbeat.
That's why you see, 84 teams going to bowl games in college football. And are there guys that opt out?
Sure.
Absolutely. But you don't.
That's the rarity.
You don't. And that's the kind of the difference in thinking, and maybe this is Tom Crean being married to a Harbaugh, where he's like got that football mentality, because he, by the way, married Jim Hart and John Harbaugh's sister.
Yes.
So he's part of that lunatic family.
So, yes, he on the basketball side of things, he wants to coach.
But he's looking at this as, okay, do I get one more chance mm-hmm. to go out there and compete? Do I have guys on my roster? And for, like, St. John's, he had four seniors on Patino's roster.
Yeah.
Everybody else, do you think one developmental time.
Yeah.
And you can move
And if they
forward.
Want to opt out, they'll let them opt out.
Yeah, we see it all the time in bowl games, but also, you move forward.
Not only that, do you know how many times in college basketball that in the NCAA tournament that the rotation is seven? Yeah. Because the NBA gets down to 9-8 more often. You have even less guys you could trust in the NCAA tournament. I mean, you look at the Oregon Ducks, you take a look at the minutes played, it was an 8-man rotation against Colorado. Diawara played 9 minutes. Rigsby played 15. Okendo played 20. Otherwise, you had Tracy and Shelstead both playing 37 minutes apiece in a 40-minute game.
Run them into the ground.
And Folly Dante, a 7-foot, 240-pound dude who has knees akin to mine, played 32 minutes.
Well, I mean, in their defense with Tracy and Shelstead, they need ball handlers out there at any cost,
for
you know?
For sure, but that's what I mean. Like, yeah. It's at a premium. So it's this whole 100%. Idea of, like, well, they'd only be down to, like, 8 guys. Like, and?
And? Who cares?
That's what teams run anyways.
Yeah.
Why does it matter?
I think that sucks for those kids in the NIT.
Yes.
Like, just give him one more run. I love Tom Crean's passion. Man's a lunatic.
Yes, he was a great coach.
He really was. But, again, picking where you're going,
mm-hmm.
and he went, Marquette, Indiana, mm-hmm. Georgia is where his last stop yeah. was.
Successful.
And he had
them.
One good year at Georgia, and then the wheels fell off yeah. relatively quickly.
Yeah, I think
he's not an NIL guy.
No. He's a basketball coach.
That arrow was coming down the pipeline for him.
No,
I like Crean on TV, though.
I do, too. He's brilliant. Yeah. He knows the game. He's the Chip Kelly of college basketball.
Ooh. Just a guy who just wants to coach.
Just wants to coach. Just loves the game.
Yeah.
Through and through. Whereas, like, if you could have that in today's world, I just don't think you can, particularly on the basketball side of things, because one player swings everything.
We've been talking about, like, the changing of what a good college football head coach is.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball is so much harder.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
finite
as the head
spots.
Coach, you are X's and O's.
Yep.
You are the magician X's and O's wise. You have to be locked in X's and O's wise. You can't just be a CEO because you have to be able to actually coach the game of basketball mm-hmm. and make that message resonate.
You can't delegate.
You can, no. You, well, you. I mean, you can, but not in game. Like,
no.
You can't do it in game.
No, you're
so much is on you.
They're helping you out. They're going, hey, here's your timeout situation. Here's your foul situation. Here's where stuff is. There was a game in the tournament that somebody, a fan, said something to a coach. Hey, this team only has two fouls. They have to get two in order to be in the bonus. So they were trying to kill clock. He goes, just throw the ball in the backcourt. And he did, and they were able to win. But, like, I got to pull it up. But the coach actually credited a fan with saying it.
Well, did you see the Kent State game?
Yeah.
That finish.
Oh, no. No. Oh, no, baby. What is you doing?
That's part of your head coach, where if you missed it.
Time and score.
Kent State scored to go up by one. It obviously either was not relayed to the player or did not resonate to a player, but they fouled.
Intentionally fouled up.
Up one and ended up losing. See, this is why I watch Maction football. It is the same thing in basketball. Maction gets wild.
Just grab a hold of the short ones and just pray.
That is brutal.
That's up there with Chris Webber timeout. Stakes obviously very, very different, but the oops factor.
I don't know. National championship in the MAC tournament. It's
same.
I mean, some people would say
but timed score, knowing what's going on. For those that are wondering, Chris Webber called a timeout that didn't exist because they had already used all their timeouts. Technical foul.
That is one of the things that you always, when you coach, you always want to make sure your guys know. And you feel like you're beating a dead horse when you talk about it over and over and over again. Situationally, what will we do in this position? When it doesn't work out and that message doesn't resonate or mm-hmm. you didn't pass it along, it is the worst feeling in the world.
Just,
because everything else, you can get guys to, and nobody notices all the other things that you put in there as a coach to make sure they understand situational basketball, football, whatever it is. But when they
final third of practice is always football, basketball, it's always the same.
Nobody
situational.
Nobody cares or notices when you get it right. And you put a lot of time into it. When it doesn't work or when you don't relay that message, it is the worst feeling that you can have. Because everybody in these in the building knows.
So many basketball practices. Hey, let's run it. Final 5 minutes, down five. Let's go. So you put yourself in those situations over and over and over and over and over again. Final 2 minutes, down five. Let's go. Play with pace.
Got
to
do it.
How to break a press. When to use timeouts. Where to use timeouts. When to not use them. All that stuff matters, and it becomes amplified, particularly in the NCAA tournament, because even the teams that play the fastest, you're going to get the Auburns and the Alabamas of the world that score 90-plus points a game. The teams that they play, knowing that full well, are going to go, hey, there's 30 seconds on that shot clock.
Yep.
So what we're going to do is we're going to pass the ball back and forth 18 times before getting into our sets, and then we'll get into our stuff with about, 9 seconds left of the shot clock every single possession. And that's to mitigate possessions and to mitigate the opportunities that you put yourself into where you have those things that can go one way or another. All right, after this, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show before we hand you over to Isaac and Sue. Come up here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
I don't know if all of you saw it. I certainly did. I tuned into the final moments of the Dallas Mavericks and Denver Nuggets. An incredible game being played down the stretch by both teams. Big shot after big shot after big shot. Jamal Murray, though, left a little too much time on the clock as Kyrie Irving hits maybe the best game-winning shot on talent skill level that I've ever seen. A lefty running skyhook over Nikola Jokic.
10 out of 10 on difficulty, because the crazy part about it is the replay that we all saw, it looked like it was just a really difficult hook shot. But there's another angle that's popped up where from the other side, Jokic actually gets two fingers on the ball and Kyrie like pushes the hook shot right through it.
Yeah, it doesn't alter the trajectory of the ball. It's incredible.
It's not only that you were going up against a 7-foot monster with really long arms.
A guy who's in a foot taller.
Very good position throughout the entirety of that play. They switch. Aaron Gordon came off him on the screen, and Jokic picks him up, slides with him. He was in great position. And then, you know, the Kareem Skyhook is the toughest shot in basketball to defend. He's so long, he even gets over to it, and he still pushed it through. It was
straight
so
cash.
Hard. To like the level of difficulty as your body is moving across the key
from 18 feet,
you are pushing the ball forward with a 7-foot, 300-pound man
bearing down on you.
That was
he is an absolute
wackadoodle, but that dude is so good at basketball. It's crazy.
Richard Jefferson.
I don't know what's crazier, his skill level at basketball or him.
Yeah,
I don't know which one it is.
Richard Jefferson, who played with him in his career, has routinely called Kyrie Irving the most skillful player he's ever seen. Damian Lillard echoed that on Twitter, saying he's the most skilled ever. Like you said, he's insane. A whole basket of cats. But my God, can the man play some basketball?
Yeah.
Left-handed, 18-foot, from a 6-foot-1 guard, on the run, falling away for the game over the two-time MVP and finals MVP, who is 7 foot tall.
Pretty
just
good.
Bonker stuff.
And that also, Kyrie's the only one crazy enough to actually try that.
To try that shot.
Well, and what that win means for them, though, is that they then push just past the Suns on tiebreakers. And now they're in a virtual tie with the Sacramento Kings for the 6th spot in the West.
And we had our confidence index last week, and I took the Mavericks as my last team in the West. They are now the number one performing clutch team in the NBA.
Oh, they're the anti-Celtics.
This is why they are on that list for me, is because the Luka, because the two possessions before this, Luka hits an insane three that gives them the opportunity.
One thing that we missed today, Blazers officially eliminated from the playoffs.
Hey!
Over the weekend.
Not too bad.
Who saw that coming? Now they're going to start.
They are that bad.
They're going to start rifling off some wins starting tonight in Chicago.
Mate,
5 o'clock.
Get the pucker factor going for the win-loss.
Well, hopefully we can get DeAndre Ayton off his air mattress. Sleeping a little bit more comfortably. Yeah. That was a weird story.
It's a weird story.
Weird man. I mean.
Fun guy.
There has been. Think of what DeAndre Ayton's been through just this year.
Mm-hmm.
A snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it so he can't leave his home.
Yep.
And then he had to sleep on an air mattress before a game.
Mm-hmm. That's probably not the weirdest story we'll hear.
All right. Up next, you got 4 hours of power there, mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Monday, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow from noon to 3 right here on 1080 The Fan.
Bye.
I'm not doing it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.